Welcome into the Yards After College podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm Kyle Ireland, and with me is Sam Farnsworth, the struggling Bronco fan that he is, because I'm seeing mock drafts, Sam, and they have Bo Nix. ESPN Today puts Bo Nix to the Broncos. What do you think about that? Are you excited about it? Do you want a different quarterback, or should they go somewhere else?
I mean, they're not going to have a top three pick, right? So
that's what I'm saying. Like, why are you going to go with Bo Nix as your first round pick?
It's not bad. Here's the thing. Like,
it doesn't get you excited, though, right?
But how many years can they go without addressing the quarterback situation in the first round? They've done it too many years. And so they've got to do it sooner than later. Obviously, Russell Wilson's probably on the way out. And so, look. I'm okay with it. Does it get me excited? No, not a ton, but a lot of things I have seen from at least the media out of Denver, and of course they like to drink a little bit of orange Kool-Aid out there. But I'm just saying, like, some of the stuff I read out there is they think Bo Nix is the best fit of this rookie class with this Broncos coaching staff. So hey,
that's interesting.
I don't know. We'll see. Hey, I don't know if that's the right guy for Sean Payton or not. Yeah. But hey.
If I'm a Broncos fan, I'm starting Stidham. I'm being terrible for another year, hoping to get like a top five pick, and then I'm going that direction. They weren't bad enough this year. They looked really bad in the beginning, but then they played well down the stretch. They needed to be worse than they were. I thought they were going to have that top five pick this year, but I guess they're just pushing it another year. That's what I would do, because most of the time you look at the league, it's these top picks that are, you know, top 10 picks. There's some outliers, obviously, but you know, you just improve your odds there. I don't know. We're gonna move on to the off season next week, Sam. We'll talk more about the off season in the weeks to come. We've obviously got free agency next month. We've got trades that are gonna happen coming up after the Super Bowl on Sunday. I'm gonna have a locals in the NFL free agent guide up on KSLSports.com. So we can talk about that in the coming weeks. There's a handful of guys that are free agents this off season, but today we're going to do it. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl. We're going to preview the big game because it is officially Super Bowl week, Sam. But before we kind of just break down the Chiefs and 49ers and obviously talk about the local guys in that game, I wanted to real briefly, since we didn't talk last week, I wanted to get your thoughts on the AFC and NFC championship games. Obviously, there was some controversy in how things played out for the Lions, especially. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens kind of got ripped all week long about the way that they came into that game against the Chiefs. But you, obviously, as a Broncos fan, you have some passion about the Chiefs. We'll say that much. And so you follow them, obviously, throughout the year. And then obviously because, you know, they're great. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid storyline is a fun one. Let's start off with that game. What did you think real briefly of what happened in the AFC title game? Did the right team win? Are we just at the point where Patrick Mahomes is inevitable, Sam?
Just about. That's almost what it feels like. So here's the thing. Like, he's as, you know, relatively as bad as the Chiefs season was, you know, relative to what they've done in years past, as bad as their regular season was, when they got to the playoffs, as soon as the playoffs began, it was kind of like, if I'm an AFC team, I don't want to play against the Chiefs in the playoffs. They're a playoff tested, playoff proven franchise. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, it just works. And with every game they played, the more and more I felt like, this Chiefs team, not like I'm like dreading them going, but I was just like, this Chiefs team is the team to beat in the AFC. I don't care what seed they had going into the playoffs. They're the team to beat, even if they have to take care of it on the road. And that game against Baltimore, it just felt like Baltimore was the underdog. I think Baltimore played like they felt like they were the underdog, like they weren't supposed to win even, you know. And here we are now with the Chiefs going into the Super Bowl, and they look like the best team in the NFL. Now, I say that even though the 49ers looked pretty darn good on Sunday as well last in the NFC Championship, but the Chiefs, I said this before on a on another program with Mitch Harper, KSL Sports Mitch Harper. I told him the same thing. I'm like, how do you not at this point, how do you not pick the Chiefs to win in the playoffs? You know, and no matter what stage, back in the first round, second round, whatever, how do you
Yeah.
not pick against them? They've developed that rapport, that reputation, and they prove it almost every single time they're on the football field.
So I thought this was interesting looking back at their little short playoff run that it's been the last month. They beat the Dolphins at home, obviously, and then they played and beat the Buffalo Bills and Baltimore Ravens on the road. So we talked about you mentioned the road aspect of that, but it made me look back at the season. So like week 4 or 5, whatever it was, the Dolphins come and they just smash the Broncos, right? Put up 70 points or whatever. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, the Dolphins are the best team in the NFL. And then down the final month and a half of the season, everybody's like, oh my gosh, the Buffalo Bills are like, they're Super Bowl favorites. Like they're playing better than anybody else right now. And then Baltimore, they go and they smash San Francisco and Philadelphia, or not, I don't know if it's Philadelphia. They smashed a couple of people, but they smashed the Niners really bad. And everybody kind of thought the Niners were one of those top teams as well at that point after they dismantled the Eagles and a bunch of other teams, you know, down from the middle point of the season on. And so I'm looking at this and it just made me kind of look back and be like, oh my gosh, like the three teams they beat in the postseason were probably considered the top or one of the top two or three teams respectively throughout the season, which is just crazy to me that like it got to that point where you look at their run and they went through like the gauntlet to get to the Super Bowl. And I think that kind of is really an impressive mark, even though, like you said, they had what would be kind of considered a down year in the regular season. But moving on to the NFC, Sam, the 49ers, they've had like a weird up and down kind of year, like where they've had some stretches where they just like they looked so dominant. I mean, their defense played amazing at points, and then in the postseason, they haven't looked as good on the defensive side of the ball. But then their offense, like if they're healthy, they have so many weapons. Brock Purdy, as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, he just gets it out to his playmakers. Like, I mean, they have McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle. They're just Ayuk's making catches off of deflections. It's just crazy. And so it was fun to watch the Lions and like their Cinderella story, but in that second half, they just ran into the 49ers team that really was playing at peak 49ers football, don't you think?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the way the Detroit Lions started that game too, you know, with that 14-0 lead, it was just kind of like, whoa, what's happening? This Detroit Cinderella run is for real. They are a very good football team. And, you know, credit to the 49ers. They're an outstanding football team, too. And Kyle Shanahan got things clicking. The offense got rolling. They made some big plays. Brock Purdy made some outstanding plays down the stretch with his feet, you know, running for big gains in that game to keep the chains moving for the 49ers to eventually get them into the end zone. I think the biggest issue for the Lions isn't necessarily a problem. They took some risks. They took some risks where maybe they didn't need to. And then, you know, at the end of the first half, they chose to kick the field goal. I get it. You're up 21-7. Make it a three-score game. Kick that field goal. Make it a three-score game going into the half. 100% agree with that. But at the time, even before they marched out the field goal, you know, I was kind of like, you know what? I think you go for it here. Try to go for that three-touchdown lead. Go for it on fourth down. They kick the field goal, whatever. And then late in the game, they did choose to go for it when a field goal. It would have been a long field goal, but a field goal could have tied the game at 27, and they turned it over on downs. And so, you know, I know they were questioned about some of the decision making in that game and the play calling, but overall, the Detroit Lions still, they took chances on the road in the playoffs. That's what you do if you want to get to the Super Bowl, you know, and credit to them for the how far they've come and for what they did this season. They've got a bright future. But this 49ers team, like you said, when they're healthy, when things are clicking, They are a very good team and a very difficult team to stop because of what they can do on offense. You know, say what you want about Brock Purdy. I know he's been kind of a polarizing player out there, whether you like him or hate him, whether you think he's legit or not. You look at social media, and at halftime, 49er fans are, well, Brock Purdy just ain't it. By the end of the game, they were probably ready to crown him, you know, as the MVP. So, but he's got the weapons all around him. I mean, Christian McCaffrey might be the best offensive player in football right now. And you mentioned Brandon Ayuk, the amazing plays he's made. As much as Travis Kelce and even Sam Laporta as a rookie got attention at tight end, George Kittle's still there. He's still it. He's still doing amazing things on the offensive side for the 49ers. And then the 49ers defense, I think, has been better than don't know, better than what I might have expected. Obviously, Fred Warner's just a stud, a consensus all pro guy in the middle of your defense certainly helps. So this 49ers team, this matchup, I know a lot of people maybe aren't super thrilled about a 49ers Chiefs rematch from a couple of years ago, but it's probably the most exciting matchup we could have got out of the final four teams that were in the playoffs.
So most exciting, but is it the matchup with the best two teams? Did we get the right teams in, Sam?
Gosh, yes. Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Chiefs, I go back to what I was saying before. I think the Chiefs were the best team in the AFC once the playoffs got going. You know, once they took care of Miami, it was just like, oh, it just felt like they were going to be on a run. The Lions were really good. With the NFC, I wasn't sold on the 49ers. I'll just put it that way. I wasn't sold on them actually being the best team, even though they had the number one seed. But they got there. And at this point, the way the game's played out, yeah, I think we do have the two best teams in there. I just hope it plays out that way in the Super
Yeah.
Bowl as the two best teams going head to
No,
head.
I think it is the two best teams, and I think the playoffs showed why, right? I mean, you had like the Cowboys who were the two seed who just laid an egg against the Packers. You had the Packers put the 49ers up like in a real test, right? Like, and I think it was the kind of the same thing with Detroit and San Francisco. Like, they had some moments where it looked like, on paper going into those two games, San Francisco should just roll into the Super Bowl, but they were put to the test by those two teams. And it just shows me, like, the Packers, obviously Jordan Love played really well in the final 10 games or so of the season, and they're going to be a team to watch. I mean, you can see the
They were the
preseason
youngest
predictions.
team, right?
Yeah, but you can see the preseason predictions right now, Sam. Like, oh, the Green Bay is going to be a 12, 13 win team next season. They're going to make a run in the postseason and all that. Like, it's going to happen, right? Like, those storylines are already being written. And then you've got the Lions, who probably, I mean, looking back on that game and how it played out, like, maybe it was a year too soon for them. You know, maybe next year is the year that they make the push into, the Super Bowl. I do think that we got the two right teams in, and we have, I don't know, it's fun to look at the local impacts. You mentioned Fred Warner. Obviously, a couple other guys on the 49ers in that game. You've got Mitch Wishnowsky, former Utah punter, who's just been super solid for them ever since he was drafted by the 49ers. And then he didn't play this season because of an injury, but Cam Latu, former Olympus standout, coming out of Salt Lake there, but he played obviously at Alabama for college, but rookie season ending with the Super Bowl appearance for Cam Latu. And then obviously you've got Andy Reid on the Chiefs side of things. He's always a fun storyline, and I like seeing him in the Super Bowl, just because you get more Andy Reid media bites out of him, which I think are fun. And then their assistant running backs coach, Porter Ellett, he's a BYU alum. Alex Whittingham is a defensive quality control coach for the Chiefs, and he played a linebacker at the University of Utah. And then on the practice squad, you've got Matt Bushman, former BYU tight end. He's been on the practice squad for the Chiefs for a couple of years now, but Andy Reid is obviously the crowning jewel of the locals for the Chiefs. But we've got, what is that, seven reps for the locals, which is a it's not what we had a few years ago.
Right.
But I do like seeing, more than just like one or two guys from the local
Right.
aspect. And once the Cowboys got eliminated in the wild card round, we were guaranteed to have a local on either sideline, which is it's amazing when you look at it, Sam, the impact that the locals have at the next level, but also just like how many there are. And like the fact that like we were kind of guaranteed after one playoff game ended that we were going to have one on either side.
So I'll say this about, all, as you go through the list, some of the guys are coaches, so you don't actually see them performing on the field. So, a fan might think, are they really locals? And then you mentioned a couple practice squad guys. So I'll say this about Matt Bushman, who's on the practice squad. Having covered a couple of Super Bowls myself, having covered the Broncos for over a decade, practice squad players are just vital. They are so important to the success of a team. And I still remember when I was at Super Bowl 48 doing a story on the Broncos practice squad guys, because they're all there. They're all there at the Super Bowl too, with the whole team. And I remember talking to Champ Bailey about the guys on the practice squad. And I straight up asked him, like, Champ, how important are these guys? You got all these guys from the practice squad that are out here in New York with you guys. They're not going to play on Sunday. They're not going to put a uniform on Sunday, but how important are they to you guys being where you're at right now? And Champ just immediately just went into how, just raving about that. Those guys are the reason why we're as good as we are. Those guys are the reason why every week we are prepared to play. And when we get on the football field, we're able to execute at the level we want to execute at. And we're able to win football games and have a game plan, a sound game plan when we go forward. So Matt Bushman, even though he's not on the field on a weekly basis yet, and hopefully he gets there soon in his career, I guarantee you he's playing a vital role in whatever it is the Chiefs are doing to prepare on a weekly basis to get ready for their games and now to get ready for the San Francisco 49ers. And then Andy Reid, I mean, come on. He's got to be in the conversation, at least at a minimum, top three NFL coach all time, do you think? I mean,
Yeah.
what he's been able to do, and you can look, I can't remember which broadcaster even mentioned maybe he's right up there with Belichick or above him. And you know what? I won't contest that. Yeah, Bill Belichick was very successful with one team, with one quarterback. What has Andy Reid done with multiple teams, multiple quarterbacks? He's only gone to conference championship games time and time and time and time again. And he's gone to multiple Super Bowls over and over again. He's won Super Bowls. Man, Andy Reid, especially if the Chiefs win on Sunday, I think you could make a very strong argument that he is the greatest head football coach in the Super Bowl era in the NFL.
It's obviously amazing because the Patrick Mahomes pick and how that played out has really just helped that, obviously. I mean, you saw like Alex Smith was really good with the 49ers. Like once Harbaugh got there and kind of set things straight with the 49ers, like they were really good for a few seasons. And then comes into Kansas City and he has a nice little stretch there as well. They were a playoff team, and then they make Patrick Mahomes the starter a year after Alex Smith and him are teammates after his rookie season. And they've only been to every AFC title game since then. Six in a row. Like
Right.
that's crazy, Sam. Like, and I know that Mahomes is a lot of that, but the fact that Andy Reid was part of that decision and has helped coach him up and still calls the plays. Like, I mean, that is Andy Reid's offense to a T.
And I
And
mean,
it's just amazing.
it's even more, yes, Patrick Mahomes deserves a ton of credit for the success that they've had, but Andy Reid deserves, I think, just as much because of the decision. Because at the time, and you just mentioned it, Alex Smith wasn't playing bad football. He wasn't playing bad football. They were a playoff caliber team with Alex Smith. And it kind of felt like, man, you're already going to go to this guy. You still have
Yeah.
Alex Smith, who's, I don't you want to keep riding Alex Smith, a proven veteran who's won in the playoffs before? Don't you want to kind of keep going that direction? But they made, without hesitation, that move to supplant Alex with this youngster, who goes on to become, you know, his name's going to be thrown out there among the all-time great quarterbacks by the time his career is done. So, great decision making by Andy Reid, and he's just a phenomenal coach too. And not only that, you talked about like all the interview sound bites he gives. I mean, come on, all these commercials he's in now. Andy Reid is the best, right? I mean,
That's awesome.
the Snickers commercial that they've revived. That's great, but how about the chef or who are the chefs? You know, and now and Andy's doing that, and then the insurance commercial with Patrick Mahomes where he's like, yeah, tell me again, but now this time with those nuggies over there. You know, he's anyway. I'll do. He's hilarious. He's funny. He's likable. He's a player's coach, and he's very good at his job.
And he met Taylor Swift before Travis Kelce did, right?
And
Like, I mean, he's already like he's a celebrity in and of himself. It's just awesome.
how about that iconic photo from the NFC Championship where he's up on the podium pointing to Taylor Swift, right? And she's pointing back. Oh,
It's
that's
so
great.
funny. It's great. All right, Sam, let's take a quick break and then we'll talk about the 49ers side of things. And then I'm gonna get your pick for the game and we will talk about the locals that participated in the Pro Bowl games this last week. All right, welcome back to the Yards After College podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. Before the break, we talked about the locals on the Chiefs side of things. Sam, we've got Fred Warner and Mitch Wishnowsky who are gonna play in the Super Bowl for the San Francisco 49ers. 4 years ago, when we had this matchup, the Chiefs ended up kind of rallying in the second half to come back and beat the Niners. And that was their first Super Bowl with Mahomes and Reid together. Obviously won it last year as well against the Eagles. But in that game 4 years ago, you had Fred Warner, who I felt like that year was his coming out party. And then he capped that season, first All-Pro year, first Pro Bowl selection. He has an interception in the Super Bowl. Are we going to see another pick by Fred? Are we going to have another turnover forced by the former BYU standout this year?
That would be awesome. If someone on that defense is going to do it, it seems like Fred Warner's the guy. And I'll tell you what, Mitch Wishnowsky and Fred Warner, kind of the two combined, kind of can play a critical role in any success the 49ers have on Sunday. And, you know, I'm probably stating the obvious here, but with a guy like Patrick Mahomes, obviously it doesn't take him much time to get down a football field, but you want to make it as long and as hard as possible. And obviously, the 49ers, they want to get into the end zone or at least kick field goals. But Mitch Wishnowsky, if it comes down to it, he could flip a field, you know, better than anyone else in the NFL. He can put them the Chiefs offense deep in their own territory, inside the 20, inside the 10, and then you turn it over to Fred Warner on the defensive side to keep them down there and to force a punt back. I mean, those two guys without you know, being put into the highlight reels could be making some big time plays, you know, that will be critical in the success of the 49ers defense. Now, hopefully we do get a, you know, a big takeaway or maybe even a sack or two from Fred Warner, you know, even though he's not really the pass rusher there, but still, it would be fun to see both of those guys playing a critical role in the Super Bowl.
I need all pro Fred to show out. I need it. I
Yeah,
need it in my
100%.
life. I want to see a good game. And
Get him a ring. That, you
oh
know,
yeah.
like
They were
that
so
would be cool.
close. Yeah, they were
Yeah.
so close in that other game. And obviously, you know, I like watching the Chiefs as well. They're not my team. The 49ers are actually my second favorite team. And so I'm going to be pulling for the Niners in this game. But I do enjoy watching the Chiefs just because Mahomes, Kelce, I Rasheed Rice, he's come on this
Yeah.
last, you know, 6-8 game stretch. And I just think that they're super fun to watch. I am excited about this matchup. We've got the Super Bowl Sunday, February 11th. Kickoff is slated for 4:30 p.m. It's going to be televised on CBS. You can also watch it on, I think it's on Nickelodeon as well. And then for those streamers out there, it's on Paramount Plus. But Sam, I need your prediction. This is going to be the last time we talk, as far as the pod's concerned, before the Super Bowl. So, who wins? Give me a final score as well.
So, how about those Chiefs? I don't like the Chiefs, but I think they're winning the Super Bowl. And I'll be honest with you, I think it's a two-score game. I don't even know if it's
Wow.
going to be, and you know, it could be a 10-point difference, but
Woo!
still, I think it's at least a 2-score game, and this is why. Again, going back to what I said earlier in this podcast, you got Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, you got all these playoff proven, Super Bowl proven guys out there on the field. They're not going to be rattled. You know, they're not going to be distracted or anything. They know what they need to do. They know what they're going getting into. And then on the other side of the field, you got Brock Purdy, who has had an amazing run in his young NFL career, but now he's at you know, a place he's never been in his career. I'm curious to see how he handles pressure situations on the biggest stage in the NFL, in all sports, really, on that Super Bowl stage. How can he handle those situations? We talked about all the weapons he has. All he has to do is get the ball into their hands and let them do their job. But at the same time, I think that's what it's going to come down to, is Brock Purdy maybe not living up to as good as he can be, and Patrick Mahomes still doing his thing, and it ends up being a good 10 to 14 point game. So let me give you a score. I will go with how about 31 to 17.
Wow. It's a margin right there. So doubling up on him,
14 points, right?
huh? Sheesh. So I'm gonna go Chiefs as well. And I think that I'm at the point, like I started the pod off with, Patrick Mahomes is inevitable until he shows that he should not be picked against, or he should be picked against. I will not pick against him. So I'm gonna go Chiefs over the Niners. I'm gonna go high scoring, Sam.
Okay.
I think the Lions were able to score on that Niners defense, and I think they'll play better this year or this week. But the Chiefs, they didn't score a ton against the Baltimore Ravens defense, and I think Baltimore's defense is better, and so that's why it was a little bit lower scoring of game. I'm gonna go 37-30, Chiefs.
Woo.
A little high scoring there for you, but
Okay,
yeah, both Chiefs.
you can buy me a 12-pack of Dew Zero or of whatever flavor I choose when the Chiefs win by 14, okay?
Okay, sounds good. It's like a KSL podcast, so we won't go into any other betting, but we'll put a do on the line. How's that? I like it. All right, Sam, real quick, give me what your Super Bowl spread is going to be focused on. I know that you like to break out the smoker for the Super Bowl. You bring some smoked meat into the office, and JJ and the crew, you guys all kind of come together with a giant smorgasbord of some good smoked meat. So what are you bringing to the Super Bowl tailgate at the Triad Center?
It's funny because after KSL Sports Live on Sunday nights, we usually get back to our little sports area there at the newsroom. We sit down and kind of immediately start talking about the show. If there was a few things that maybe we didn't like, or frustrations, or what we thought went great. And we talk about some of the things that we have to do for the week to come. Well, last night we get back to the corner, and immediately KSL Sports producer Hugh Tran's like, "Okay, guys, so we need to make a plan here for the menu next week." And I was like, "Well, hold on,
Priorities.
let's talk a little bit about the show." And we talk a little bit about, then immediately he's like, "Okay, so do you guys like Little Smokies or something like that?" And we were just laughing at how focused he was on getting a menu for next week. So, but to answer your question, I kind of threw out the idea of maybe smoking a tri-tip. I've done ribs almost every year, and I like ribs. I like to do ribs, but sometimes I'm like, you know, tri-tip isn't, it's one of the easiest meats to
Oh,
smoke.
and it's so good.
It's, and it's delicious.
Yeah, it's
So I'm like,
so
I can
good.
just, I can smoke a little tri-tip. I'll do some maybe jalapeno poppers, and we've been smoking some like cheeses on my grill lately that you can just dip a cracker into when it's nice and warm.
Oh,
So
cream
I might
cheese?
do,
We'll smoke
cream
cream cheese?
cheese.
Oh, it's
Yeah.
so good. So
And
good.
so with you put like a rub on it or something. And so well, I'll probably do some of that. I think Jeremiah is going to bring his wings in.
Nice.
I'm not sure what everyone else is bringing, but we'll definitely have food. So if wherever you're at, Kyle, isn't working out, just come on down.
Hey, I appreciate it. I just realized the last time that I had been in the building for the Super Bowl was that 2020 Super Bowl before the pandemic hit. It's been
Oh,
4 years
yeah.
since I've been in there with that Super Bowl party with you guys.
That's
So,
crazy.
but I do remember your ribs and they were delicious. So,
Good.
props to you on that. I don't know what I'm gonna make yet. I'm still deciding on the meat to smoke, but I'm definitely gonna be doing some smoked cream cheese, a little meat church seasoning on it, and we'll see. We'll see what the I'm leaning ribs right now, just because a good rack of ribs, it's hard to
They're
beat. But
delicious. Yeah, they're
they're
amazing.
so good. But tri-tip is delicious as well, and it's easy. But
I'm just going the easy route. Yeah.
I like it. It's a busy day, so I don't blame
Yeah.
you. Let's briefly before we hop off. So you had the Pro Bowl games this week, Sam. I like the new format. I think that it's been a success the last couple of years. You had Puka Nacua and Miles Killebrew and Penei Sewell all participated in the events, but won the events. Obviously, Jalen Johnson, Rashid Shaheed, some other guys were there as well, but those guys won their events. Miles Killebrew, he won the high stakes event, which was where you had to like keep catching footballs and have to like maintain possession without dropping any of them. And Penei Sewell, he participated in a couple things where one was like a relay thing, and then had to like move some weight around with a bunch of offensive linemen. That was fun to watch. But Puka was obviously the highlight one. I want to get your breakdown on the catch. So he was going up against David Njoku from the Cleveland Browns. So it's hard to lose the event when the other guy doesn't complete the catch. It's like going up against somebody in a slam dunk contest, and like the guy doesn't make his dunk. It's like, well, if I make my dunk at all, like I'm gonna win the event because he didn't make it at all. So Puka should win because he obviously caught the ball. I was a little underwhelmed by the wakeboarding thing. I'm not saying that it's not difficult, but I would have been more impressed had Njoku completed the backflip off the rope swing and made the catch. I thought that was a little bit more of a high degree of difficulty. What did you make of Puka's catch? Obviously, he should have won, but what did you think of it?
I'm going to rain on your parade a little bit here, Kyle, because not just you, but the broadcasters were also saying, "Oh, this is a much more difficult. This is a degree, the degree of difficulty here on Njoku's backflip." Look, that's what me and my buddies did at the pool growing up. Our whole lives is you flip off the backboard while someone throws a football to you, you catch the freaking football. Yeah, you drop some of them, but we catch most of them. And Njoku, who's a professional football player who gets paid to catch footballs, can't catch a football flipping off of a rope. Come on. So
A fair point.
I was like, look, he dropped three, was it three or two? I can't remember. I think he had three
There's
chances.
three.
He
Yeah, three
dropped them all.
chances.
I'm like, come on, dude.
Puka caught his on the second go, so it's a little bit better even because of
And
that.
look, it seemed easier, but I'm going to say this. Puka's going 17 miles an hour. The timing, you got to give credit to who was it that was throwing him
J
passes?
Jimmy Clausen.
Claussen, that's right. You got to
Yeah.
give him a little credit too, because no one's running se a 17 mile an hour route usually. So hey, I'm all about the, obviously you got to pick Puka. He made the catch, but I was a little underwhelmed by both of them, to be honest, but that's what it was.
Agreed.
Good. I hope
I
they
guess
up
that's
their
where I'm
game.
at with it. Is I was
Yeah.
underwhelmed by both. I just
If they
needed a
bring
little
the
something
event
more.
back, if they bring the event back, I need some more creativity, and it doesn't have to be
I
like
like, yeah,
in the
agreed.
pool or anything. Just do something. I don't know, whatever. My favorite event, I'll tell you this. And yes, the Pro Bowl games are silly, they're whatever, but they're more interesting than the Pro Bowl game ever was, unless we go all the way back to the mid to early 90s. So my favorite event, the event that had me and my producers actually yelling in the newsroom, was Miles Killebrew winning his the great ki whatever that event was, where
Yeah,
he had to
high
catch all the
stakes.
footballs. High
I
stakes.
think
That
that,
was good.
yeah, it was impressive. And Rashid Shaheed was doing it as well. And I don't know, Miles Killebrew, his diving catch was crazy. The one where he put it between his knees and caught
Yeah,
it.
between his legs. Yeah.
It was wild. But all right, Sam, Super Bowl Sunday, 4:30 p.m. Follow Sam. He's going to have coverage all weekend long of the Super Bowl on KSL Sports Live. Make sure to follow him on social media at Samsworth underscore TV. You can follow me at Kyle Ireland. We'll be back again next week to recap the big game. We'll look ahead to the offseason as well. But until then, this has been the KSL Sports Podcast, the Yards After College Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.